What's up, Lego? Past the 10 o'clock hour. Good morning, Lagos. How you doing? Okay. Well, it's Thursday, another Thursday, but apparently the first Thursday since we, you know, started saying Happy New Year, you know what I'm saying? It's so good to have you join us this morning. If you are still on a, you know, like you're still rolling in sleep, I don't know who you are. Why are you in bed till now? Except you have or you own like a $1 million company. Then you're excused. Even then. But good morning, Lagos. Thank you for joining us on the show this morning. It's What's Up, Lagos? This is where Lagos's best conversation resides. I say so myself. All right, as usual, we start off the show with Sound Off, because you see, on Sound Off, we get to talk about issues, whether they be social, political, economic, and other matters arising, as long as they affect you and I. Yes, we get to sound off on those issues because we are hoping that those concerned would listen and take it and do the right thing. And then, of course, we'll go into our musings for the day. It's Thursday. After our musings, our lawyer girl will be in the studio to pick up from where we stopped last year. Last week. Okay, well, continuing with the dissolution of marriage, but then we're going to be talking about the invalid marriages or valid marriages. We'll talk about the differences. And then, of course, we're still all looking with a microscope at our marriages, if we actually did the right thing when we did get married, or there's something that we need to do to fix it, or do we have to do it all over again and legalize it properly. So that's what the conversation is going to look like today. And it's Throwback Thursday, so I had to go dig up that One Day Call song, because you know what, it gives me some nostalgia, you know, going back to all of those nice songs. Well, Mo Hits is no more, but I mean, he did have a couple of great hits at the time. All right, so let's go straight to our sound off this morning, and then right after that we'll go into the musings. Once again, good morning, welcome to the show. My name is Mary Anako, and it is What's Up, Lagos.
It's What's Up, Lagos, right here.
Yeah,
you feel good.
Life can be fun,
but life in itself can be hard.
Every single day, we wake up to all kinds of stories.
Some good.
And in sport, Nigeria's Toby Amuso has set a new 100-meter hurdles world record.
Some bad.
And some outrageous.
A 29-year-old woman, Oluchi Badruba, has been arraigned before an Ogbe magistrate court for allegedly beating up her brother's wife.
This is Sound Off,
where we bring these issues to the fore.
You can hear this Mondays to Fridays, 10 a.m. to 10:30 a.m.
on What's Up Lagos 99.3 Nigeria Info.
Keep a date.
All right, it's time for Sound Off. Well, I'll just go straight to the topic for our Sound Off this morning. Now, the Minister of Finance has said we've been borrowing to fund fuel petrol subsidy, or rather petrol subsidy. The finance minister is saying that they've been borrowing to fund petrol subsidy. Yeah. Let me give you some background. Now, the Minister of Finance, Budget and Planning, Mrs. Zainab Ahmed, said yesterday that the federal government was borrowing money to fund petrol subsidies, insisting that subsidy regime had become totally unsustainable. Ahmed, who disclosed this at the public presentation of details of the 2023 budget in Abuja, stated that fuel subsidy costs was a very high one and they had been funding it from borrowing. According to her, petrol subsidy will remain up to mid-2023 based on the 18-month extension announced early 2022. In this regard, only 3.36 trillion had been provided for the PMS subsidy. Don't forget, President Muhammadu Buhari's administration had announced plans to end this subsidy from July of 2022, but changed its position when they faced threats of nationwide protest by Labour. Now, party members and some officials of the administration were said to have convinced President Buhari that the decision will negatively affect his public rating and that of the ruling party, and this forced the government to later announce an extension to the subsidy regime to lapse in June this year. That's 1 month after leaving office. Now, I'm not going to dwell on fuel subsidy because that's a whole kettle of fish on its own, if you ask me. But I'm going to dwell on the borrowing. It's it's a few months, it's barely 2 months before, you know, this administration comes to a wrap. And we were just told that the government borrowed to fund the budget. So part of the budget is going to be from borrowing. So we're borrowing to fund our budget. And now we're also borrowing to fund, fuel subsidy. Yes, because, you know, they say it's pretty expensive. And then let's look at our debt profile. It's deafening, if you know about it. Our debt profile is blinding. I'm looking for the best way to describe it. It's earth-shaking. Now, I hear people saying, well, it's not the first time that a country, you know, will be having, you know, debts. I mean, even the U.S. is owing people this and that. But then it makes me question what we really want for our future. Because really, if at this point in time, at the close of your government, sir, we're still borrowing, what kind of problems will the incoming government be solving? Because the debt ratio is going to continue to go on the up and up. What have we done to deal with the issue of debts that we have already? Because it looks like it's digging us deeper and deeper into problems that are waiting for us on the other side of the future. I do remember someone from the presidency responding to former President Olusegun Obasanjo's open letter to Nigerian youth, talking about, you know, the decision that we're going to make come 2023, and his choice of candidate, which is barely his problem, because, you know, former President Obasanjo has one vote, and whoever he decides to vote for, that one vote goes to him. But then the federal government or the presidency talks about the fact that his government was not successful and that he was jealous. So let's talk about that jealousy briefly and tie it to the indebtedness that the Buhari administration has brought us. Under the Obasanjo government, we were able to get our debts forgiven. At least we didn't have so many debts to have to pay. We didn't have to stay up all night and wonder what will happen to the future of our country because we're indebted. I keep asking every day, and I'm going to keep sounding like a broken record, what will be the legacies of the Buhari administration? We're looking at a long list of debts. We're looking at a 2022 and maybe the year before, but a 2022 that the whole events that took place, 80% of those events were massacres, murders, kidnappings. What will be the legacy of the Buhari administration? You're borrowing at the close of your government. What happens? What happens to the man who comes to take over? He's coming to inherit Wahala, obviously. For a government who told us that they were coming to ease our burden. For a government that told us that they were going to give us employment. For a government that said they were going to fight corruption and plug all the loopholes. For a government that told us that they were going to put an end to insecurity. Can we say boldly that the Buhari administration has done that for us? And how do we do or deal with this issue of indebtedness? We're not thinking about it, is it? I mean, it's one thing for us to say we want to vote out the government of the day, anything but, because this is where we were in 2015. But then when you vote the next person in, what's the plan? I want every person who's listening to me and every Nigerian who's saying, oh, I want to get my PVC. As you're getting your PVC and whoever you want to vote for, if they eventually emerge and become president of Nigeria, what is the plan? And that sound off. To watch up Lagos 99.3 Nigeria Info. I'm Mary Anacol. Now let's get into the musing for this morning. Very, 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 very controversial conversation this morning. I'll tell you why. So a young man by the name Shandukani posted something about African women, and I'd like to read it out to you all and then take your thoughts. So again, it's his opinion, and there are several other people who may hold the same opinion, and then we want to hear from the opposing side and those who support it. So here he goes. A married woman who wakes up after 6 a.m. is a lazy wife, and he says period. A married woman must wake up before 6 a.m., sweep the yard, make breakfast, clean the house, take out the trash, cook and do laundry. When the husband wakes up at 9 or 10, everything must be prepared. It's sad how African marriages have become so Eurocentric. Guys, this is Africa. We are Africans. God gave every nation a culture and its diversity. An African woman, married or single, wakes up before the sun is out and performs all the domestic duties. Women are created for that. Full stop. That's what he said. Now, a lot of people do agree with this because, you see, I know some people are already... But for the girls, I don't know about you, but when I was growing up, I had to wake up early. I had to show, you know, go into the kitchen. I remember my grandmother used to call me parlor wife because I just did not have the time for those domestic chores. I want to play. That's my own. But then there was a way that culture tried to, you know, one way or the other, tweak us to be that way, to wake up in the morning, pick up a broom and sweep. And if you were holidaying or visiting somebody's house, you also feel the need to do the same thing. You know, want to wake up and at least sweep the room that you slept in. You know, ask if there's anything you could help with in the kitchen and you know, just put things together. And then the boys will wake up later and just be part of the breakfast or whatever it is, you know. And this has been modus operandi. It might be different in some other houses, you know, but then you know how people would look at you and say, so you have a daughter and she doesn't know how to cook. She cannot even sweep. You're spoiling these children. But the same could not be said about boys, right? Although there are some other traditions, since we're talking about culture and tradition, there are also some other cultures where the man and the woman, male, female, boy, girls, they all have to be in the kitchen. They all have to learn how to sweep, to cook and clean. That's my tradition. And then there are other traditions that the boys should never be seen around the kitchen. They shouldn't even your dad is not supposed to touch the lid of the pot in the kitchen. That's how bad it is. But let's look at this young man's position. What he's saying about African women and how we've become so Eurocentric. Because, you know, half the time we're saying, oh, we've become so westernized that, you know, it's getting to our head and every woman now wants to be a man. But then there is an opposing side. And, you know, we've got the feminist COVID. We've got this and we've got that. So we've got the guys who are asking for equity and equality. See me as you see yourself. If you want me to do this, then you should do that. But we're going to have a healthy conversation this morning. What do you think about this man's position about women, especially in Africa, becoming so Eurocentric? And he's saying, this is Africa. We're Africans. God gave every nation, a culture, and its diversity. And an African woman, whether married or single, has to wake up before the sun is out. Join the conversation. 0700-993-993-993. If you're a lady, 01465-7190. We will go for a break, a very short break. When we come back, I'm going to be opening up the phone lines to have this conversation with you guys. Where do you stand on this side, on the divide? Is it for or against? And you must give me very cogent reasons. We'll be right back. Baby, drop the instrument. Yes, we do. 31 minutes gone past the 10 o'clock hour. It's still What's Up Lagos? And we are looking at this very interesting, controversial topic by this young man about African women. And if you're just joining us, give it a few minutes and then I will go over, you know, his post again. But those of you who listen, the phone lines are open. 0700-993-993-993. That's 0700-993-993-993. And we are also, for the ladies, we have a line for you, just the ladies. 01465-7190. That's 01465-7190. And you can send us a WhatsApp message or you can tweet at Nigeria Info on Twitter with the hashtag WhatsApp Lagos. You can also call us from Skype if you're listening to us from outside the country. Just look for Nigeria Info on the Skype and call us. We would love to hear from you. So let's talk about this issue with African women. What are your thoughts? Hello, good morning. What's up, Lagos?
Hello.
Good morning. What's up, Lagos?
What's up, Lagos?
Cheers to life. Good morning. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
The name is Joseph. How are you?
I'm good. Go ahead, Joseph.
Yes, sir. My concern is this. For me, if you ask me, I would say that the women are not being overused as is being believed. Right from the homes to the time of marriage, the men has usually always been on the top. Look, if you ask a woman to stay at home and then take care of the homes without working, it becomes a problem. But then if you compare the two, you know that the man does more. And then the woman is making up by the preparations and the activities she carries at home. The man provides. The man, okay, what we believe that the man has to provide for the home, even if the woman is working. You cannot compare the level of her contribution to that of the man. If she brings 50, the man must bring 100. So she completes the 50 by the little activities she does at home. When the man comes back from work with an extra 50, he comes to the house, then the woman gives him food to eat. Then tomorrow, he leaves for work. So she tries to make up with this one. And when we compare it as being overused, and then for me, I think, even at home, when we're under with our parents, the ladies wash the plates, they cook the food, yes. They are taught how to cook. But the man does the harder work at home.
And what is the harder work?
When it's time to go fetch firewood, we go. If I must use my own family as an instance.
Well, I don't have firewood in my house, so what are the boys doing?
Okay. Whenever, let me tell you, even you as a lady, even if you are the same age with the guy, when you have issues and you are being beaten outside, your brother remains the person that will run back.
So his duty is to be a bodyguard. That's his calling on this earth.
He must be your bodyguard.
Okay, Joseph, I appreciate your thoughts. Very interesting ones. All right, 0700-993-993-993. Call 0700-993-993-993. Hello, good morning. What's up, Lagos?
Hello.
Good morning.
My name is Innocent.
Give me the What's Up, Lagos, quickly. Go.
Yeah, What's Up, Lagos?
What's up? Cheers to life. Good morning.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Good morning. I'm just laughing after my last caller just gave his opinion.
Mm.
For me, I'll tell the guy that in the early age, African used to wear raffia palm. We should continue wearing it. Africans used to dwell in farm work. We should continue doing our farm work. Since we don't want to evolve. You see, let me tell you something. Evolution is part of life. Yes, those things happen.
Yeah, but the guy who posted it is saying it is culture. And every country, every race, you know, they have their cultures, their traditions.
Can I tell you something?
And we should stick to it. That's what he's saying.
Culture is the way of life of the people at the point in time. That last phase of the statement should not be taken lightly. At a point in time, a culture is defined by time. Okay, it is the way of the people, the way they respond to the environment at a point in time. That's what culture is. Culture is not static. Culture evolves. That is why the Africans have not grown. Our culture will try to keep to what our forefathers used to do. But guess what? The era of our forefathers is not the era we live now. Mm. Different circumstances, different challenges, different environments. So we should wake up.
So you're saying we should evolve with the times and just not stay in the Stone Age.
Culture, you see, a culture is living. Culture is a living way. It's living. So you cannot skip to what your forefathers... Listen, during our forefathers' era, they used to ride on horses. The kind of challenges they faced was different. The kind of diseases they faced was different. Mm-hmm. The kind of opportunities they had were different.
Okay.
So are we going to use that same system to work now that we have different challenges? Did they have COVID? No. Did they have HIV? No.
Okay.
So people should stop these as our forefathers. They should go up to the forefathers' era and start living now.
Okay. Thank you very much for calling. I'll just like to say, when you call us, just have your thoughts together so that we can just skip it at 60 seconds. But it's a very interesting debate. Now, I did promise that I was going to go over that, you know, post again for the benefit of those who are just joining us. So it reads, a married woman who wakes up after 6 a.m. is a lazy wife, period. A married woman must wake up before 6 a.m., sweep the yard, make breakfast, clean the house, take out the trash, cook and do laundry. When the husband wakes up at about 9 a.m. or 10, everything must be prepared. And it's sad how African marriages have become so Eurocentric. Guys, this is Africa. We're Africans. God gave every African nation a culture and its diversity. An African woman, married or single, wakes up before the sun is out and performs all domestic duties. Women are created for that. It's the last line for me. Join the conversation. Where do you stand on this divide? Because, I mean, I did say that growing up, this was somewhat the type of, you know, upbringing that girls had. So the girls were to do this and that. Just like the first caller said, you might think he's wrong, but that's the, you know, the idea that he grew up with and it stuck with him. But then my second caller is saying, look, the world has moved away from that. We're no longer killing twins. We're not sacrificing this and that. So why should we be doing this? But then it's the last line from you. Women were created for that. I need to hear from the women. Were you created to be a house help, a domestic staff, or, you know, the one who just caters. You're like a forerunner. You wake up before everybody and make sure that everything's done. Hello, good morning. What's up, Lagos?
Yeah, what's up, Lagos?
What's up, Lagos? Cheers to life. Good morning.
Yeah, the Queen of Sheba.
The Queen of Sheba is here.
Hello, baby.
Can Don come?
Lola, you made here today. Yes. I can't hear the voice of the others.
Yes, they are here. Very silent.
Oh, they are here.
Mm-hmm.
Say me hi to them. Oh, prophet.
Okay.
Hello, prophetess.
Yes. What's your position on this issue?
Yeah, my position is that a woman is a queen in the house. And we have the practical example of Father Abraham with Sarah. Irrespective of the father, she didn't have children. She was the position of two housemaids. One serving the husband, one serving her. So a woman ought to be a supervisor, not a slave. It is forbidden by God that a woman should not be a slave, but rather be a supervisor and to take care of the house she was married in. That's why the Bible says a man that cannot look after his immediate family. Your immediate family is the wife.
Mm-hmm.
Your wife is your first daughter.
Okay.
To produce holy children for God. But by the time you start using her as a slave, the love will die.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much for calling. We appreciate it. Hello. Good morning. What's up, Lagos? Oh, dear. So sorry if that was you. Please call us back. We want to hear your thoughts on this issue because, you see, in the African culture, whether you like it or not, and if you grew up in this Africa, you know that your sisters did the cooking, the cleaning, everything. You just woke up and had breakfast, you know. It's now that you see parents say, clean up your room as a boy. If you don't clean up your room, I'm taking your PS. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. But that's still not necessarily the same thing in every other household because it's still, you can't go and play with the boys. Go to the kitchen, go and watch your mother cooking. There seem to be more etiquette training for young ladies as opposed to the boys. And so the boys are left to do whatever, you know, boys are let to be boys, but the women, there's so much focus on the girls to do this and that. But I'm just wondering, did that culture, the training that we got as children somewhat shape us and shape, you know, our mindset? And how has it really helped us going forward? Really, I want to hear from the ladies. Hello, good morning. What's up, Lagos? Please turn off your radio.
Hold on. Hello?
Good morning. What's up, Lagos?
What's up, Lagos?
Cheers to life. Good morning. What's your name?
You are the only voice in the wilderness.
Yes.
You and Sherry, people are trying this.
I'm John the Baptist.
So, please, can you please ask you something? I'm Chinna Yenwa.
Okay.
Please ask you something.
Go ahead.
Are you an African woman?
Yes, I am. In fact, firstborn child.
Okay. Yes, an African woman. I am an African woman by nature. But by character, I am not an African woman. Do you know why I say this? Hello?
Go ahead.
You know why I say this? You hear what I said?
Yes, I heard
by
you.
By character, I am not an African woman.
No, Chinayem. Why are you not an African woman by character? Because you see, that's what the guy said in his message, that we have become so Eurocentric. We want to be people that we're not.
Now. I'm coming. Cool down. My blood is hot. Cool down. Coming down. I want to explain.
Okay.
You know, okay, let us start from the qualities of the African women.
Uh-huh.
The qualities of African women are, number one, they have been denied access to school.
Mm-hmm.
That is the African woman for you.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, when they are having their menstrual flow, they will be inside one room. Mm-hmm. They will not come outside to mingle with people. Do you understand me?
Mm-hmm.
So now all those things, as now that those things is not in existence, are you still tell me that I'm still an African woman by character? Because I'm not in all those things that make them to be an African woman. We are now going to school. We have seen Western world. And you now come and tell me, you know, all those culture, Because people say that culture is the people's
But going to school and seeing the Western world, does it take away from you the value systems that you already have been inculcated or that has
those
already been inculcated
system,
in you?
What are those value systems? Projecting a woman to become a slave. That's the value system. You know, let me tell you one thing. All these are forefathers that make those cultures. You know, it's people that make cultures, not culture that make people.
Mm-hmm.
Even in Nigeria Constitution, there's something that will be disturbing in the Constitution. They will say, let us adjust this.
Mm-hmm.
You understand me? Uh-huh. They will adjust it. But okay. If you tell me that I must remain in that Constitution when you know that it is disturbing or it's affecting people. You know?
Let me ask you a quick question. I want to let you go because you've overshot your time.
Our forefathers that made those cultures, if anywhere they are now, they are projecting to us.
Okay.
You know that. But
let me ask you a quick question. Do you wake up early? Do you fix your husband's breakfast? Do you clean and cook?
I would do it because.
No. Do you do it? It's a simple question. Do you wake up early?
If my husband
clean?
Wake up and do it, it doesn't make any.
But do you do it?
Anybody can do it. I can do it, but not by taxing me. That's my duty.
Okay. Thank you very much for calling. I'm just curious. I just want to hear. But let's go back to the phone lines. Before we do that, I have some messages coming in. Somebody here on WhatsApp says, good morning, Mary. And that man is saying the truth, but he didn't explain better. I've dated some girls that they will sleep till 12 p.m. and expect me to go and cook and sweep the room. For them, many girls are lazy. Maybe it depends on the way they were brought up. And my mom always takes me and my sisters to the kitchen to watch and learn how to cook and sweep. So I know how to do those domestic work. I don't depend on women. And that is why marriages are breaking today because they are of their character or the character of some women. Dampi from Igondo, thank you very much for your message. This one says... okay. This one says, good morning and what's up, Lagos? In my former workplace, our office is on the fifth floor and the building is without an elevator. Once we order dispenser bottle water and it arrives downstairs, all the girls are like, oh yeah, guys, go and bring it. Bring all 12 bottles to the fifth floor and we'll do it happily. Even in church, when we're doing some work as youth, it's time to lift the heavy stuff. It's time to climb up and to one risky height, the ladies will step back and the guys will do it without complaint. Why is it now that once the ladies do small thing, they will want to quickly raise gender role agitations? Honestly, I'm not always ready for gender role debates on radio, I beg your pardon. And that's why I tune off during table talk. Okay, I will just wait, Sha, until the topic is changed. But you just contributed, so you are listening. And thank you for listening. Okay. Hello, good morning. What's up, Lagos?
Hello.
Good morning.
Hello. Good morning.
What's up, Lagos?
Yes. Yeah, what's up, Lagos?
Mm-hmm.
This is Bravita.
Go ahead.
Yeah, calling from Ekiti State.
All right.
I'm sorry, I've been out of Lagos for some time, so...
Yeah, you have 60 seconds.
About.
Oh, okay, so you have to listen, and then you can contribute, all right? Hello, good morning, what's up, Lagos? Please turn off your radio, thank you very much.
What's up, Lagos?
What's up, Lagos? Cheers to life. Good morning.
Good morning, ma'am.
Morning. What's your name, sir? Where are you calling from?
Yeah, good morning, Miriam. My name is Igwe Victor.
All right, Igwe, go ahead. What do you think about this post?
Yeah, before I go on, Happy New Year, sister.
Same to you.
What I want to say is, I think culture is dynamic. When you talk of culture, you talk of the way and manner in which people tend to live their lives. But in the aspect of subjecting women to maybe a particular way of life, I'm really against that. What a man should do by energy, not by physical ability, but by normal physical strength that a woman can do. Everybody should do it. But what I'm always against is a situation whereby you see women always projecting the gender equality when it has to do with stuff like this. But when you want to take it the other way around, they will tell you that the other one quoted Bible. The Bible we always even quote is not part of our culture because all these things are borrowed from the same people who have put us where we are. So when they want to relax and they really get what they're supposed to do in a family, they will tell you that the Bible says that a man who cannot provide for his family is worse than an infidel. But when it has to do with what they're supposed to do. They will tell you that everybody has hand, everybody should do what's supposed to do.
Okay, so let me ask a quick question before you continue. Do you think that those who are talking about equity and justice are talking about muscles and ability to lift bottles up the stairs? Do you think that that's what they're talking about?
If I think...
Do you think that when people talk about equity and justice for, you know, across the sexes, and people who are talking about feminism, do you think they're talking about the fact that a woman is the same as a man in terms of body mass and, you know, energy or capabilities? I'm not talking about brain. I'm talking about physical strength. Do you think that that's what they're talking about?
That is justified when you want to...
No. Do you think that that's what they're talking about when we say we want equal rights, justice, and equity? Do you think that's what they're talking about?
That's not what they're talking about. They're talking about where women want to, when a man thinks he came back from work and he's requesting for food.
Okay, let me tell you why I asked you the question. Because you were you were saying that women are always asking for equality, but when it comes to doing the heavy lifting, they don't want to. So I think that there's a lot of skewed narrative out there in terms of feminism, and that's why I don't like to get into the conversations like this.
Just hold on.
I want to clear some doubts. When people are asking for justice and equity, if you and I are in the same office and we're on the same level, and I do the job as well as you do it, I deserve that promotion. But because you're a man, the promotion, they will pass over me and give it to you because you are a man. Now, that is where the issue of feminism or equity or fair play comes in. Now, they're not also saying that as a feminist, I am a man. I can lift cement. I can build bridges. Do you understand what I'm saying?
I understand what you're saying.
Yes, so I'm trying to clear that doubt. Go ahead, quickly.
The reason I said what I said is that when it has to do what you have to do, don't project, don't turn the other way around. I don't actually subject women to those stuff we are talking about. I come from a family where men dominated the figure. I'm the last boy of the house. And the first issue is a lady that I didn't even meet in the house. She got married before I became a peasant. So all of us, about 6 of the 4 men in the family, knows how to cook. So if I woke up this time that I'm married, if my wife doesn't do what she's supposed to do, like maybe she's very, very weak after she came back from work, I don't really raise an eyebrow over it, because some other men would do. But maybe because of how anybody has been raised, he'll begin to try to exhibit that.
Okay. And I'm glad that we all came back to that point, because I talked about the kinds of, you know, upbringing that several people have in the different homes. So in some homes, like I said, where I come from, the average man and woman knows something about the kitchen. You know how to cook, you can sweep, you can clean. So there's a saying that you cannot do shakara for a Calabar man because he knows how to do everything for himself. Do you understand? And then there are other cultures that the men don't do anything. They don't lift a finger because you see they're girls. And even if they're the youngest and the girls are older, the girls are still going to be somewhat, in quote, I use it loosely, serving them. And that's because they're men. So leave the man. Go be a woman. And that's why I brought up the issue of women mostly get the attention, the most attention. Sit this way. Do like this. If you don't do like this, you will not get a husband. But then nobody really pays attention to the male child. But then this guy's conversation, his post, is talking about the fact that if a woman doesn't do this, 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 and that, she's lazy. And the last line for me is, an African woman, married, single, wakes up before the sun is out, performs all domestic duties because women are created for that. And that's where I'm stuck at. But let's go to WhatsApp. We've got a message, and then I'll read from Twitter before we wrap things up because our time is far spent. This one says, I think I have read this message. So I'm going to quickly go to Twitter to see if we have a message, and then we'll wrap things up. Like I said, you have to use the hashtag WhatsApp Lagos so I can see your message. Oluwafemi FM here says, terms and conditions applied. This applies only on weekends, not on weekdays, for career women. If you both had the money to spend for the rest of your life, then I concur. Okay, thank you very much for your message. This one says, this is crazy. This is a crazy thought, my people. May God save our women from this kind of advocacy that subjects a woman to slavery. This arrogant thought is vile and reprehensive. Okay, thank you very much, Ene Ikechukwu here on Twitter, for your thoughts. I think that that's the most we can take on this particular subject matter. On the other side of the clock, we'll be having our lawyer girl in the studio to talk about marriages. You need to listen in to be sure that your marriage is valid. All right, stay tuned. We'll be right back. Minutes gone past 11 o'clock hour. It's still What's Up Lakers. It's time for us to have somewhat a very serious conversation, because you know, if you're married, it's time to go and bring out your certificate. It's time to call your partner and say, wait till we have to listen, tune into Nigeria Info, because the things that they're about to say, it will let us know if we are really married or not. Our lawyer girl is in the studio with us this morning. Olamide Onifade is a family lawyer, and she's also a real estate lawyer. Olamide, before we went on our Christmas holiday and the New Year break, we started the series on dissolution of marriages, and then we talked about void marriages, and then today we're going to be talking about voidable marriages. See, all these things is grammar. Just say to us in plain Queen's English or layman's English so that we understand ourselves. Yeah. But Happy New Year, darling.
Happy New Year, Marianne. I missed you last time.
I know. You look like a New Year. I mean, I like this outfit. So New Year, new you.
I hope so.
Yeah. So for the benefit of those who do not know what we're talking about, what exactly is a voidable marriage?
Okay, so I'll start with what we did some few weeks back. That's 2 weeks back.
Yeah.
Okay, so we talked about voidable nullity of marriage. I said there are two ways wherein marriages can come to an end. So it's either you dissolve the marriage through a divorce petition, or you apply for nullification of the marriage, annulment of the marriage. So we started with the annulment.
Yeah.
So under the annulment, there are two ways. It's either the marriage is void or voidable. If the marriage is void, it means that the marriage never existed.
It didn't even happen.
Ab initio. However, you still need to go to court to... it's just a declaration. So ab initio, the marriage never happened. But you still need... something to show as evidence that indeed the marriage, that's why you even need to go to court in the first place.
Yeah.
So, and I talked about the fact that for voidable marriages, for marriages that are void, third parties can assert that your marriage is void.
How do they do that?
You know, I talked about inheritance and all of that. Even after the death of both parties, for the sake of inheritance, succession, or, you know, several issues can come up. People can attack that marriage. That when they got married, say for instance, probably a man who was married to two women during his lifetime, maybe one under the native land custom and the other one under the statutory marriage.
Yeah,
the children of the first marriage can assert that though their parents are late, they've passed on, but the stepmom, who is now claiming to be the legal wife or all of that, her marriage in the first instance was never valid.
So it didn't even happen?
Yes. So they can go to court and attack her on that. And don't forget that both parties, probably the father and their own mother, have even passed.
But they got married under the Statutory Act?
No. I said, just for an instance.
Okay.
Take for instance, you and Stretch decide to get married under the native law and custom.
Okay.
Then Stretch now decides to take another marriage. Info girl. During the subsistence of your marriage.
Oh.
And probably everything just went smoothly. Even he's married to
Info girl
lasted for 30 years. Then the woman died, the first wife died. And the man now died. So, you know, I told several weeks ago, we talked about if you're married under the statute, the lot of advantages that accrue to the spouse when it comes to inheritance, where there's no will. So, if Infogirl is now asserting that she's the woman...
legal wife.
Yeah, she's... all marriages are legal.
Okay.
But the statutory wife that she's now claiming to be the statutory wife, who now has to get all those benefits.
Mm.
The children of the first marriage can come in and attack her that no, that marriage was not even valid in the first place.
Yes.
Her mother was the legally married woman to her father, who was married under native land custom. You were married to her father during the lifetime of his marriage. So your marriage was
not even, void.
Yes.
Null and void.
So those are the instances of void marriages. Third parties can come in and attack the validity of that marriage.
Absolutely.
So we talked about age, getting married during the subsistence of another marriage, whether through native law and custom or statutory marriage.
Yep.
What else did we talk about? I can't remember. But
you also talked about the, I think one of the things you said was that there has to be a show that the wife was properly handed over.
That's under the customary.
Yes. It has to. If there is no handing over, then the wife is not your wife.
Yes.
Wow.
Okay.
Did they hand you over, Infoga?
She's not married.
She's not giving me out in marriage.
So let's talk about voidable marriages now.
Voidable marriage is different from void marriage because you, until either of the parties to the marriage choose to annul that marriage, the marriage is valid for all intents and purposes.
Even if they're separated, even if they've started dating other people.
No. What? Yes. Yes, in that instance.
Yes.
Okay, so let me explain again. You know, I said void marriage.
Mm-hmm.
It never existed.
It didn't exist.
Whether you go to court or you did not go to court, it did not exist.
Mm-hmm.
However, for voidable marriages, it's still valid for all intent and purposes.
Mm.
Until one of the partners comes up to say, I think I want to annul this marriage.
Uh-huh.
That's why it's called voidable.
So it's voidable. It's open to being void.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Excuse me. I started coughing again.
Welcome to January. It's the dust.
Yeah.
So you're saying, for example, Stretch and I now are married.
Uh-huh.
And then, but then we separate. We didn't go to court. We're just separated. And we're living in different homes now. And we probably are seeing other people. You're saying that marriage is still... You were still married for all intents and purposes until I or Stretch decides that let's annul this marriage.
Yes.
But then there are people who, after separation, go and marry somebody else.
Yeah.
Hold on. You're not getting the point. There are two ways to nullify a marriage.
Okay.
It's either the marriage is void or voidable.
Huh.
So I have spoken about how a marriage can be void.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're going to voidable marriages. Voidable marriages may be void or not be voided at the instance of either of the party. So when the marriage is alive, is subsisting, it is valid.
Mm-hmm.
A third party cannot come in and say this marriage is void. Is void.
Mm.
Unless either of the party, it's exclusive
to the people who are married.
So once one of the parties passes on, no other party can come in to attack the validity of that marriage.
Ah, I see.
So, what are the instances and how can this happen?
Yeah, we're listening.
Consummation of marriage. Lack of consummation. Inability to consummate the marriage. Is different from willful denial of consummation. So, we'll talk about that one next week. Now, what do we mean by consummation? Consummation is when the complete act of sexual intercourse.
Is there an incomplete act?
A complete act.
Is there an incomplete act?
Yes, there are incoherent cases.
Wow.
When there's no full penetration.
Okay.
So there has to be a consummation of the marriage. There has to be lack of consummation.
So,
and now in this instance, it is not because either of the parties willfully doesn't want to consummate. It's because of medical reasons or probably psychological reasons. But there is no ability of either of the parties to consummate the marriage.
Hold it. I'm going to use a very weird scenario. For example, people say, oh, because we're Christians, we're not allowed to, you know, do anything until we're married. And so you're not privy to any sexual information about the person. And then when it's time to consummate the marriage, you realize that they're incapable of certain things or they have some health challenges.
Thank you.
So that is grounds for you to make that marriage voidable, right?
Yes. However, the party who is asserting that the other party is incapable of consummating the marriage must not be in the know before the marriage. Okay. It must exist at the time of the marriage and at the time of the application to the court.
Of course, because you don't know. You don't know. You haven't seen it.
So if, for instance, you know that this man is important.
And you still went ahead.
Prior to the marriage. But you were hoping
things would get better.
That there may be a way around. And you went into the marriage willfully. You can't come around to say you want to nullify that marriage. Mm-hmm. It's a ground for divorce under dissolution of marriage. If you want to divorce, but not to say the marriage never happened. Nullification.
I see.
You can't nullify the marriage.
Lovely. This is very interesting.
You know the outcome of dissolution through a divorce petition is different from the outcome through a nullification of that marriage. Nullity is that the marriage never happened. So you can claim to say, I never married, even if you have three children.
Wow.
Do you understand? But for divorce, the marriage happened.
Yes.
But we have just chosen to bring the marriage to an end.
Okay.
So you must... at the time of the petition to the court, the application to the court for the nullification of the marriage, that fact must still be existing. There must still be the lack of consummation. It may be for medical reasons. Mm. And there must be no cure.
Oh, so, sorry, Olamide, if I discover that you lied to me and you have a medical condition, even if there's a cure, do I have to wait for you to get a cure? What if I say I want to leave this marriage on the grounds that you deceived me into marrying you?
Then go and apply for divorce.
Oh,
huh. A petition.
But voiding the marriage.
Yeah.
Huh.
So, no, I wouldn't say that once there's a cure, you can't nullify it. But there has to be a reasonable chance that the man can be cured. For impotency is different from sterility.
Mm-hmm.
It's different if the man can complete the act, but he cannot make children.
Mm-hmm.
That one is when he's sterile.
Sterile.
It's different from when the man cannot complete the act of consummation. So you can't come to court to say, yeah, there has been consummation, I love that, but you can't get me pregnant. I want to nullify the marriage.
So that falls on a divorce?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Not nullification.
Hmm.
So, and at the time that you're applying to court, it must that fact must still be in existence. So if he gets cured a day before your application,
it doesn't fly. Really? No. There are too many ifs.
But
it's very complicated.
It's not, it's just plain facts.
So if the man decides that he's going to get cured so that he has some evidence and then he gets cured a day before we're supposed to be in court, so I don't have a case anymore? Wow.
I can't even answer that question.
Wow.
It will now be evidence. Like, okay, at the time I came to court, he had not gotten a cure. So whether he now goes to get a cure a day before, by the time I applied, he did not have there was no cure.
And the burden of proof is on you to prove that, you know, this is how he was before, you know, you applied for this.
So another case is where the woman had been impregnated by another man prior to the marriage. Prior to the marriage.
Wow.
Not during the marriage.
Prior, by another man.
Yes.
So this is a case of Mary and Joseph.
Oh, well. Oh my goodness, Mary, I did just say that.
But that's not prior now. Okay, that's prior.
Prior. Mm-hmm.
Yes, so prior to it, if the man did not know that the woman had been pregnant with another man's child and he went ahead with the marriage and discovers afterwards, he has a choice to void the marriage or go ahead with the marriage. So, and how can he know? Probably you got married September and by April the following year, your wife had come giving birth to a full
it's a miracle baby. It's a miracle.
But at that time, the man mustn't know.
Okay.
If you know and you went ahead with it, you can't come
there's around. There's no grounds for voiding the marriage. Oh, yes. Wow.
And all of this fact, the person who happened to cannot come to God to use that as a ground. So the person who cannot, consummate the marriage, cannot go to court to apply for nullification.
Okay.
The woman who got pregnant prior to the marriage cannot go to the court to say, hey, my marriage is null because I was I got married. So if she gets impregnated by somebody else during the course of the marriage, it's different. That is adultery. That is a ground for divorce.
Okay.
Well, if she got married prior to, I'm sorry, if she got impregnated by someone else prior to the marriage, and she goes ahead, if she deceives the man and the man didn't know, then that is voidable.
Uh-huh.
But the man can choose to go ahead or not go ahead.
So the choice is the man's.
Yes, that's why I said voidable. You have choice.
But what if she says that, sorry to interrupt you, but what if she says, she's not comfortable staying in the marriage, knowing what she's done, that's on the grounds of deceit, and says that she wants to still nullify the marriage, or...
She can't.
She can't file for anything.
It's even the other man person says, who's the victim that can.
Even if... Okay, what if she says she's not comfortable, like conscience things?
And then she can go and file for a divorce.
But not to void the marriage.
Not to nullify that marriage.
Ah, I see.
Now, if after the man now found out that the woman was impregnated by someone else prior to the marriage, now goes ahead to have sexual relations
with the woman,
you cannot come into nullify.
We have to go for a break. This is a very tough conversation to have in January, but it's very interesting. We've got questions on WhatsApp. When we come back, Olamide Onifade is in the studio. The phone lines will be open for you to call. Ask all your questions. We have all the time that we need just for her to answer your questions. It's still WhatsApp Lagos. 24 minutes gone past 11 o'clock hour. I'm Mary Anna Cohn. We'll be right back. My people also left our road. It's still What's Up Lagos 99.3 Nigeria. That's Olamide's voice. 30 minutes gone past the 11 o'clock hour. Before we take your thoughts and your comments, because we've seen questions already coming in, we're talking about voidable marriages. And as usual, we always have our lawyer girl, Olamide Onifade, here in the studio to break it all down for us. Now, you know, I told you something when we started that, you know, you need to call your significant other to sit down and listen to the radio, because, you know, there are lots of question marks that come up when these conversations are being had. Now, people are beginning to question, hey, honey, are we sure that we are married? So I quickly want you to conclude so that we can take questions.
Okay, so we talked about getting pregnant by another man
before
the years prior to the marriage. And another ground can be insanity. No, I won't say I said insanity, excuse
insanity.
Me. Unsoundness of mind.
So that's
recurrent attacks of insanity or epilepsy prior
Sorry,
to marriage.
Epilepsy is a ground for voiding a marriage?
You know, at the time, you would I know that it might sound a bit absurd, but don't forget that in Nigeria, we don't really, how laws, a lot of them are obsolete.
Yes.
Very
archaic.
A bit archaic. So this law was in 1970. Don't forget. It was in 1970. And how, 1970 to now is how many years ago?
Let's say,
I don't know maths. Should be about 53 years.
It's about 50 something years.
So how can we still be using a law that was made in 1970? So, well, that's part of our harsh realities.
So it's because epilepsy, you need help. I mean, I had a friend, God rest her soul now. I met in uni, and I'd never probably would have known that she was epileptic until we had an overnight class session, and then I slept over at her house. In the middle of the night, she had an attack. I didn't know what it was, so I didn't even know how to help her. It was the neighbors who came and said, oh, you have to open her mouth and do this. And I never knew it. So there is a tendency or possibility
How did she pass away? I hope it wasn't subject to the epilepsy.
I think it was over the years, but she lived with it for a long time. We had graduated from school and started working, and then one day I just heard she passed. So it could have been as a result of that. I'm not certain.
Yeah.
Because at the time, I don't think that we were so aware of, you know, the other ways of dealing with it and, you know, managing, you know, the situation. But in today's world, many people would say that that's, you know, some form of
discrimination
against people living with epilepsy.
Yeah, I think so, yeah. So, and on soundness of mind prior to the marriage.
Okay.
So, this is not a straight issue of insanity.
Insanity. So, you could have schizophrenia, you could have.
Yes. But it doesn't mean that because your husband is not smart enough, you decide to go and nullify the marriage.
No. That doesn't count.
Yeah, probably he has a bit of weak understanding. You know, some people, maybe he's of
ADHD.
Or probably intellectually he's not at par with you. That would not mean that he's subject to unsoundness of mind, you know.
So there has to be so I'm sure the court has several yardsticks for to measure what they mean by,
of course, you have to take in medical evidence.
I see.
So it could be, you know, intermittently. It could come in today, he might be sane today. Because you would ask me, so if you know somebody is unsound mentally, why do you have to go to through marriage with that person? At that time, some people have periods when they are very lucid, you know, and you might not know. And some families, they can package.
They will hide it.
Yeah,
yes.
They will hide that fact. Go through, have you a lavish wedding, and 3 months after the marriage, it comes back.
He's acting up.
So it's different from when he's induced, probably under the influence of
alcohol or drugs.
That's a ground for
divorce.
For not nullity.
Okay, 0700-993-993-993, 0700-993-993, that's the number for you to call. For the women, 01465-7190, that's 01465-7190. You can send us a WhatsApp message, and you can also tweet with the hashtag WhatsAppLagos. We have a post up on our Twitter at Nigeria Info FM. And also, you could, I think that we are live on facebook.com/99.3 and on YouTube if you're watching. Please drop a message. We'd like to hear from you. So we've got one message. Let's read that message before we go to the phone lines.
All right, this person says, I was once married under the act and we went our separate ways and mutually agreed not to secure a legal divorce because both parties don't want to be responsible for the legal fees. Note, it's been 3 years now. Can I marry again under the act without legally avoiding, without legally voiding the previous one? This person wants to know.
Okay. I would explain again. Voiding the marriage, a marriage that is void, is different from a marriage that you want to dissolve by a divorce petition.
Okay.
Now, he has not given me any fact to say, to suggest that the marriage was void. Now, so it means that they've separated for irreconcilably
differences.
And they've now lived apart for 3 years. It is a ground for divorce that partners and spouses have lived apart for 3 years. It's a ground for divorce that even the court does not have any discretion about. Once you can prove to the court that you have lived separately for 3 years, it's a ground for divorce. However, if they live apart for 30 more years and they do not go to the High Court of any state in Nigeria to obtain a proper dissolution of that marriage, they are still married.
For 30 more years?
Even for 60 years.
Wow.
So they must spend that money. When they were dancing to the registry and the church, did they spend money?
Well, that's a good question. Well, we're going to the phone lines now. Let's take your thoughts and your comments. 0700-993-993-993. You can also call us via Skype. Just search for Nigeria Info and call us. We'd like to hear from you on this particular matter. We're talking voidable marriages, and our lawyer girl in the studio has gone through the whole, you know, nine yards, telling us about, you know, what it entails to void a marriage. So let's hear your thoughts. Hello, good morning. What's up, Lagos?
What's up, Lagos?
Hey. Cheers to life. Good morning.
Good morning.
Yes, what's your name, sir? Where are you calling from?
My name is David from the Shoriati.
Go ahead.
Yeah, Barry Stoney Friday, good morning.
Good morning, sir.
Yeah. Your first narrative, which was from last week, that somebody who is involved in traditional marriage and coming to marry another person under statutory marriage. I know that at the registry, they normally give 30 days. Maybe the wife does not know that the husband that is intending to marry statutorily is already involved in a traditional marriage. And within the 30 days, nobody came up. Mm. And maybe now they are in the church, and the pastor himself was asking, if any one of you know any good reason why this marriage should not be contracted, should say it now. But according to you now, maybe the two of them have not died, and the children of the one that is having a statutory certificate of their mother, another one of that tradition is now contesting with them. Are you saying they have a grant?
Yes, they do, sir. Unfortunately so.
Mm.
Ignorance will not cure the defect in a void marriage.
Mm.
So if, for instance, at the time they went to the registry, there's always the registrar will make an announcement for, I think, 21 days, wherein if there are any impediments, if anybody knows of any impediment to the marriage, intended marriage to come up. However, if nobody comes up, that doesn't mean it will cure the defect in that marriage. If somebody gets to know, then you enter a caveat to the court. To the registry. And you have to go to the High Court to determine that a High Court judge will not determine if there are valid reasons or not. Okay. But even if that did not occur, and the marriage still went ahead, and they had children, and the instance that he has portrayed,
yeah,
it still will not cure the defect. Okay. Unfortunately, that is the fact.
All right, well, let's take a call from a lady this time. Hello, good morning. What's up, Lagos?
Hello, good morning.
What's up, Lagos?
What's up, Lagos?
Cheers to
life.
Good
morning.
Yes, what's your name, ma'am?
I would want to remain anonymous.
Go ahead, please.
I got married 2015, and we've been separated for almost 6 years now. He took the case to the court for a divorce. Actually, he got married traditionally to another girl 2017. Left that one, did another one in 2020. Now he took the case to the court. I told him to file for divorce. You ended the marriage yourself. And the case has been in court for 3 years. Okay, this is going to be the third year. And every time there was a sitting, he never showed up. He would not show up to the court. Now, the lady he remarried to had a child for him, and they are relocated to the UK. Hello?
So what's your question? We're waiting to hear your question.
What is my own... I don't know how to do it. I was asking my lawyer, what next? What am I supposed to do now? The person who filed for the divorce is no longer in the country. He's not even attending court sessions. So what is my case now? What am I supposed to do?
Do you want to go ahead with the marriage?
I can't be married now without getting the divorce.
So she's asking, do you want to go ahead with the... Because, I mean...
Are you still interested in the marriage?
I'm no longer interested. He's remarried twice, and we've been separated 6 years.
Then you apply to the court for a nullification of a marriage based on the fact that there was subsisting marriage prior to your marriage. So whether
the marriages happened after they separated.
After
Yes. Our
own marriage.
Yes.
Then the man...
After 2 years, got married 2015, he left 2016, and remarried 2017. That's the first one. He claimed it was just introduction. Then did another one again 2020. And that one now has a child for him.
Well, that's adultery. So you can choose to end the marriage on the basis of adultery. And I don't know what your lawyer filed, but there should have been a cross petition. So you can go ahead on the basis. A cross petition can exist on its own. So you can continue with the petition based on your own cross petition.
Okay.
So it doesn't matter if he comes to court or not. So far, he knows of the pendency of that petition. The matter will go on in court.
Okay.
All right. Thank you very much for calling. Hello. Good morning. What's up, Lagos?
Hello.
Please turn off your radio. Walk away from it quickly.
So, good morning.
Morning. What's up, Lagos?
What's up, Lagos? Good morning.
Yes, good morning. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Let me remain anonymous, please.
Okay, I know.
Okay, now, my case is just like the last person that spoke. We did traditional. We go back to the city to go to the register to register the marriage. The day we are supposed to go there, I was at the registry before the lady. Now, I called her, where are you? She said she's no longer interested in the registry.
Really?
That she's done with the, she's okay with the traditional something we did. She said, so what do we do? So we keep hanging, and all of a sudden, we forgot about it. Sometime in the, I think about 5 years ago, she packed out from the house that she's no longer interested. So right now, I'm like, what am I going to do? About a year ago, she had called me and said I should go to her people and collect whatever, something like that. So,
wow.
Do I still need to go to the whole process? Do I need to have anything to do with the court or what?
Please, if I hear you correctly, the statutory marriage never went through.
Mm.
She backed out.
Repeat your question, please.
I said, if I hear you correctly, you said the statutory marriage at the registry that morning of the wedding intended marriage did not go through. Am I correct?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, you were she married.
I said she was supposed to be at the registry with me, but I was there before her.
She backed out. That's, yes. You know, we're still saying the same thing. She backed out. So you are not married under the statute. There's no statutory marriage, but you were married under the native law and custom, right?
Yes.
Now, you still have to divorce her under the native law and custom. It's either the family returns your bride price, the dowry that you paid, or you approach the customary court for a dissolution of that marriage.
But what if I said I don't care about what if, because I called the family, they said I should come down and I don't want to go. If I ask them to pay my money into my account, does that make a difference?
It wouldn't make a difference. So far, it has returned it.
Okay, so, all right. Thank you.
I'm most curious about what if he wants to get married again? Wouldn't it affect him?
That's why I said he has to go through the dissolution of that customary marriage.
Okay.
By approaching the customary courts or demanding for a refund of his bride price.
Yeah, because you see, some people are like, I don't want to marry her. I'm done. I don't want the money back.
It's very significant to return.
Okay. It's part of the process. Hello. Good morning. What's up, Lagos?
Hello. Good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, I've heard all the people have been explaining. It's very interesting, and information is power. I believe as a lawyer, which represents light in the midst of darkness in this world, we're supposed to have a booklet concerning all you have been explaining and in addition to what we are supposed to know. Yeah, a booklet or a book, so that the intended couple will buy it and know where they want to enter. I know where they are coming from, where they are going in marriage. But marriage is not a matter of dwelling on someone's feelings. Like this last one now, if that woman just deliberately toil on his feelings, it's bad now. Mm. So that will also bring bad health and bad approach to marriage in his life. So the lawyers are meant to guide life and also to protect life and to give information of laws. That's why they are lawyers.
Okay.
That's why God appointed them to decide case on his behalf in this world.
Okay. All right. So we need a booklet because you see marriage. What nobody really understands, you know, marriage. Mm-hmm.
It's valid, actually, and I will look into that.
Okay. We need a booklet to Marriage 101.
Yeah.
Hello. Good morning. What's up, Lagos?
What's up, Lagos?
What's up? All right. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
This is a calling from Odogbolu.
All right, Eze, go ahead. Please turn off your radio. Walk away from it.
Okay, can you hear me now?
Go ahead.
Yes, I want to ask the lawyer what to do. My wife, we have born 4 children. 2 is in university. 1 has just finished secondary school. 1 is still in secondary school. So now she has taken me to the police more than 4 times. The last one she took me to was Human Rights. So now when I find out that the mother is one giving her all the clues of what to do, how to manipulate me, how to tell lies against me, how to do all those things. Now, she's not sleeping with me again for more than 6 months now. And I've told it to my family. My family say I should leave her alone. Since she's not giving birth again, what am I fighting for? But now I cannot bear it again because I cannot start going outside to be looking for a woman because I don't know who is who. I don't know the disease I will contact. So the thing just make me feel, anytime I see her, my mind will be boiling. And I feel that something like that can cause problem in future. What is your advice, lawyer, for me?
All right. Thank you, Eze. That's a very dicey situation there.
No, it's not dicey.
It's dicey. Because she probably has issues. I wanted to ask Eze, what did you do that made her take you to the human rights guys?
There might be abuses of, you know, friends. I don't know. I don't know the fact. So yeah. I can't impute the fact. However, if the marriage has come to an end, is either they choose to separate, live separately, and they might not even divorce. They might continue to live separately or just apply to the court petition to divorce the marriage. If the marriage has, if it's already died.
They can't remarry in the process of being separate. So
No, until the divorce is final.
When we go on to the dissolution part, I'll talk about judicial separation.
But he's saying that he also, at first, he didn't want her to leave because he's going to be finding it very difficult to step his foot back into the dating pool, and you know he's afraid of whatever you know is out there. But now, because every time he sees her, he gets angry. I agree
that it's separate.
Yeah,
so that he doesn't do something he will regret.
Something drastic. Yes. All right. Finally, because we have just about 1 minute and 50 seconds, Chooks from Ikorodu says a friend of mine's wife went into adultery and then she opened up to her husband. Now her husband wants to divorce her. If she remarries, I'm sure you mean if he remarries, has he committed adultery
during the lifetime of that marriage?
Well, he wants to divorce her.
He should divorce her and go ahead and
so he has
marry.
To. He must divorce her before he remarries.
Yes.
Okay.
Adultery is a ground for divorce. Yeah. So he has a good ground. If he has his fact, if he has his evidence, then the marriage will be dissolved and he'll be free to remarry.
So very important, guys. Divorce has to happen before you remarry. Mm-hmm. If the divorce is going to be concluded tomorrow morning, then you get married this evening. That marriage is not avoid. If you have not learned anything on this show, learn that. Olamide, I want to say thank you because this has been a very interesting conversation. We always learn something new. And I mean, this is something that people should pay money for, but you're giving it to us free on WhatsApp Lagos. If people want to ask you more questions, because we're all going to be sliding into your DM in a bit, give us your Instagram or Twitter handle.
Okay, well, I'm more active on Instagram.
Okay.
Olamide_lady_lawyer.
Olamide_lady_lawyer.
And my phone number is on my page. So you can just send me a WhatsApp
message. They can send you a WhatsApp. Please don't call her. Send her a WhatsApp message.
Please. Yeah.
Don't call her. She might be in court. All right. Well, thank you, Olamide, for being here. Very interesting conversation. I'm looking forward to next week, Thursday, as we gradually get to the peak of dissolution of marriages. And I want to hear about that judicial separation. It's very important. I want to hear it. All right. Well, guys, that's the show today. We'll be back tomorrow because it'll be Friday. I like Fridays. TGIF. Well, don't forget, you can follow Nigerian Info on all of its platforms. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and subscribe to our YouTube, because you can play catch up on all of our shows. Download the Nigeria Info mobile app. That way you can listen to the podcast of all of your favorite programs right there in real time. My name is Mary Anacon. It's been a very interesting Thursday with you. Follow me on Twitter, Instagram, MIMIEYO, or better still, you can just search for Mary Ann Okone, Marianne Duke Okone, everywhere else. But Twitter, Instagram, MIMIEY1. Info girl who came very late. She's still here scratching her head. We'll talk about her tomorrow. We'll deal with her issues tomorrow. In the meantime, have a blessed day, Lagos.